I'd like to ask for you to maybe sing a couple verses of 321.
We will work for Jesus and for the land that exalted so a fallen race, joining with the Savior, doing what we can to extend the wonders of His grace. We will work for Jesus, we will work for Jesus, we will live for Him who died for all. We will work for Jesus, we will work for Jesus, we will hear the final trumpet call. We will work for Jesus, all to Him we owe, only for His mercy we would be lost in sin forever, but we truly know that His mighty love will set us free. We will work for Jesus, we will work for Jesus, we will live for Him who died for all. We will work for Jesus, we will work for Jesus till we hear the final trumpet call.
Appreciate that. Thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in Guthrie this morning. Appreciate an interest in your prayers and your attention. I'm very conscious of my inabilities and the weakness of my voice. So I need the Lord to help us today to be able to communicate what's on our heart, and that it would be beneficial for us. So in case you can't read what I put on the board, I put the words inspiration, planning, construction, maintenance, and repair in that order on the board. I'm fascinated with a story of a local business here in Oklahoma. Some of us can remember when they were much smaller and had less impact on our market. Today they have maybe 300 stores or so. The company I'm talking about is W.H. Brahms. And I don't know how many of you know very much about them. I remember coming here as a teenager, probably 40 plus years ago, and having my first experience of going to Brahms. And yesterday, Damon and I were driving into town, and I said, I can't remember, but somewhere right along here was the Brahms we used to go to as a teenager, and he said, I didn't know there ever was a Brahms along here. So I remember going there, and of course I was only interested in ice cream at that time, first time. I remember taking Anita there later. Brahms, it's a family-owned business based in the Oklahoma City area. The company is something called vertically integrated. They control all phases of dairy production, store construction, and distribution of products. Brahm grows its own corn and alfalfa mixed with grain to feed a herd of more than 10,000 dairy cows on 7 farms comprised of 40,000 acres plus. Brahms refuses to inject the dairy herd with hormones or feed it antibiotics to increase milk production preferring instead to control the feed mixture and other variables. A second farm houses a support herd where all the calves are born and housed in several thousand individual hutches and raised to maturity. They join the milking herd and return to the support herd when they're ready to calve. Some of y'all understand more of that than others. The company operates its own fleet of trucks, makes its own plastic milk containers and cartons for ice cream, operates its own construction unit, has built private roads and even a bridge, has a cabinet shop to make furniture for the stores, and an in-house design unit which produces the company's award-winning logo. In addition, Brahm operates its own bakery, producing bread, buns, cookies, muffins, and other baked goods, as well as ice cream cones and roasted almonds and peanuts for Sunday toppings. They have special trailers, because they own the trucks and the trailers, that have three temperature control zones. They have a frozen zone, a chill zone, and a dry zone in the trailer. You know anything about trucking? That's pretty unique. They have fresh produce, meat, baked goods. In the 2000s, the company began building a beef herd to produce its own high-quality beef products. So, in an organization like that, it's fascinating to me because that's a lot of moving parts. It's fascinating to me because I've been able to watch in my lifetime that company be successful. As far as I know, it still operates that way from the time that article was written. They have obviously some inspiration, or they'd never get that off the ground. There's been a lot of planning involved over the years. There's been other companies that's probably grown faster and subcontracted a lot of those moving parts out to others. It's been said by the one that took over from the founder, when questioned about going public, he said, if I did that, I'd have to answer to why I spent the money and what the return was on that, and he said, I'd be afraid I'd be out of a job. So it's a privately owned, as far as I know, still business. They have construction, they have maintenance, and have repair. I've got acquainted with one of those that worked for Brahms that went around and maintained and made repairs on the individual stores. If you see an addition going up to the Brahms store, the people that's making that addition and laying the tile and putting the roof on, they all work for Brahms. And it's not a franchise. If you work for the Brahms store, you work for Brahms. You don't work for somebody that owns a franchise. I don't know how much that resonates with you or what that means, but it speaks a lot to me. So I'm not here to talk to you about Brahms. I told you that. I read that to you so we could set a basis for what I want to introduce to you, talk about. Another point that I want us to get here right at this moment is there was a man by the name of Martin Luther King Jr. gave a speech, and he said, I have a dream. He made that speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, August 28, 1963. I don't expect you to remember this date, but I hope you get something today that'll follow after you and make a change in your life. I'm here today to talk to you about a vision, and what I see. I'd like to define for you today the vision as something that I believe in my heart and I see in my mind's eye. And I won't be able to give you all the details and nuances because you won't sit still that long. But I have a vision of the church. I want you to have that too. I want you to know that every organization has to have all of these components functioning. And I don't believe that the church is a literal organization. I want to make that very clear. I believe it's a spiritual organization, but I believe if you will allow your minds to go there, that you can understand that there has to be some inspiration for the church to continue to grow. There has to be some planning done. I believe that the ultimate inspiration and the ultimate planning and maybe the construction is based on something that our Heavenly Father instigated and originated. But I want us to see a picture of a spiritual body that's functioning, able to grow, and to be prosperous and worthy of investment. There are times, I'm sure, and I will do my best to minimize my reference to my illustration here, but there are times that the investment that the ones at the top of the ladder make, because they've had inspiration in the Brahms organization, doesn't always yield the highest profit margin. But they've made investments. And not all investments into any organizations have a exact proportional return on that. There's investments that's made to strengthen a foundation. There's investments that's made to increase maybe market share that sometimes takes a while to see a return on that. And I want us to consider as we look at the church of God. I believe it's something that God intended to grow and to prosper, to be healthy, to be vital, to be relevant, and to be impactful until the end of time. But let's try to focus on what my vision is. I trust your vision is there too. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I would like to read something the Apostle Paul wrote for us. He says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For one by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So part of my vision is that God has one church. If you disagree with that, you're going to have to throw out this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and you're going to have to say that Paul did not know what he was talking about. I believe that that should be part of our vision. I also want to be very clear that we should have a sincere desire and burden to be part of that. It would be foolish for me to say that I'm in control of that, because it's not to me and it's not to man. But I want to be part of it. And I believe that if I accept anything less than God has one body and one church and one group that he ultimately wants to come together, that I'm believing something that is not supported by the Scripture. He says here, for the body is not one member, but many. And here's where we begin to see the different components that make up the body. He said, if the foot say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the hand, ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. It's God's inspiration. It's God's planning. But he also intends for us to find a place in this body. There's times in my line of work that it'd be nice to have another joint between my elbow and my wrist, kind of like my shoulder. I don't know exactly how that would work out, but it'd be nice to have that sometimes. Sometimes it'd be nice to have an extra hand, and I know that would look kind of odd too, but God gave us all the members of our body that we have. And I'm thankful that I have two hands and two feet, and I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed me to use all of the members of my body, and he has blessed me, and I'm very grateful for that blessing of not having to deal with physical handicaps. My heart goes out to you today if you are struggling with physical handicaps. The body is made up of many members. They're not all the same. I'm glad I've seen some people that could walk on their hands. I personally can't. But I'm thankful I'm not required to walk on my hands. I am thankful that we all have a specific part. I'm giving you a very generic overlook of a vision. But I want us to be very clear in that the church is not a dictatorship where there is a delegation sent out and orders spoken and people are snapping to attention. It is a living body, an organism that should be coming together and having empathy one for another and finding our place and fulfilling that place to where it brings a prosperous situation. We're not talking about money. We're talking about spiritual prosperity for mankind. We want it to be a organization that when others look on, they can be impressed at how vertically integrated it is. I wrote some comments recently about my father. When he needed counsel, he turned to the saints. I believe that's a safe place to turn, is to one or more of the members of the body. I don't believe that the body should be anemic or sickly to the point that you have to look for counsel beyond the scope of what God has intended to be in place. All right? Did that make sense? Brahms has about got it all. I don't know what they buy except maybe seed and diesel fuel to make their organ, electricity to make their organization go. There's probably some other things. But if they don't make it, they maintain it. They keep it fixed. It's pretty impressive, it is to me. You know the church ought to be impressive? You know, the church ought to be something that people are fascinated by how well it operates and how it functions. They shouldn't be looking on saying, boy, that is I don't know how to get anything done. It ought to be the other way. They ought to be looking on and say, I don't know how they do it all. But that is the smoothest thing I've ever witnessed, whether it's in their service or when they're getting along outside of service. Yes. The impact that it has in the world, if anybody's Christians, those folks are. Yes. It ought to be resonating, all of that. Yes. So it's not just one member, it's many. It's working together. I'd like to turn briefly to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and notice what Jesus said in verse 13 beginning. He says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in their house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. These are Jesus' words, and he says very plainly, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I believe that God intends for the church to be a visible body. Something that people can literally see and recognize that there's the power of God working in men and women's hearts and lives, and that they can be able to recognize that there is an impact going on here that is beyond humanity. This is something that is orchestrated by God. It's something that is elevating mankind. It is something that is refreshing and bringing hope to people, and not crushing people, not putting people in their places, but is giving opportunity for each one to find their place in the body and to be able to exercise in a way that they should. By design, in the original inspiration, in the planning, God intended for his church to be visible to people around us. And he intends for us to be visible in a physical sense today. I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians, but I'd like to go to the 3rd chapter. And I'd like to read beginning verse 6. It says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own honor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Ye are God's organization, if I can say it that way. By design, the different members are to complement each other. We are to be an asset and not a hindrance one to another. I would like for us to go back now to the 12th chapter and realize what I see. I know that you have the right to disagree with me, but what I see is the church is a solution to the world's problems. A relationship with the Lord is a solution for your personal problems. But when we come together and become part of God's church, we are a solution for the world's problems. I'd like to look 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning verse 4. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. How I communicate when I stand behind this desk is different than some of the other brothers or sisters. How I carry myself and how I may, I have personal opinions just like everybody else does about what tastes good and what time you ought to get up and all of those kind of things. And they may not be the same as yours. But he says here, there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. We're all part of the same organization. All right? He says, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I should be able to profit in my spirit because of your contribution. And you should be able to profit in your spirit because of my contribution. To another, for to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. All of this is to cause the church to be vertically integrated to the point that all of the needs are met. That it is edifying to every part of our life. Need some counsel on wisdom, maybe how to handle your money. There ought to be somebody in the church that you could go to and they could give you some sound counsel. Is there something spiritual that you need some counsel on? There ought to be someone that you could go to and be able to trust them and get some valid direction in your life. I believe that any healthy organization is going to be looking for where the holes are. Where's the things that's a vacancy? Where's the places that we're coming up short? And they ought to be trying to solve that. If I was born into the Brahms family, I would be saying, we've got to make sure that we're covering all our bases. Why is it? We can't have a holdup in our inspiration and our planning and our construction because we're dependent on somebody to come in and be the pipe fitter. We need a pipe fitter on our crew. You see what I'm saying? We need to be seeking the Lord. You may need to be a pipe fitter for the church of God. You may need to be someone that can be able to give some wise counsel in a specific area. Lord, help us to be able to look at the whole thing and say, Lord, if there's something missing, am I the one that's supposed to be stepping up and filling the gap? You know what the alternative is? We're going to get to that. But my vision is that it's vertically integrated and that it's healthy and it is profitable for every one of us. I can feel safe. I can feel confident. I can feel secure. I know that my needs will be met by the church. And that's the faces I'm looking at. And it's the faces that I come in contact with that's coming to the same point, the same focal point. I want to be with people that have a vision of the church prospering. I don't want to see a sign on the door that says, going out of business sale. I want to see the sign, now hiring on the side. I want to see promotions that were expanding. There's opportunities. There's always opportunities for the young people. There's opportunities for the older folks too. The church is not a spectator sport. Right. It's not something that you can sit in your seat and root for your favorite driver. That's not what it's about. There may be somebody in a driver's seat, but I want to tell you, the one in the driver's seat has got a lot of people on the pit crew. And every one of them's important. If your job's to tighten the lug nuts, you better be sure and do it, or the wheels are going to come off. And if the wheels comes off of the church, the world sees that. It don't look like it works. Well, the wheels came off of that thing. The roof fell in. The doors closed. Why did it close? Without a vision, the people perish. Scripture says. I want you to have a vision. Not a vision of coming to see what's going on, but a vision of where do I fit? How do I be a contributing member? How do I make this thing go forward a little better, a little more effective, instead of finding out whose leg I can cut off? And how I can throw a stumbling block. I'd like to go on down in the chapter, verse 27, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. He says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet shew I unto you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is that we would all find our place. I'm fascinated with the gift of helps. Lord, bless those that have the gift of helps. They're always overworked. There's a lot of people. You know, it takes a lot of helps to make everything. Helps is like go for this and go for that. Helps is it's maybe a little bit of everything. Gifts of governments. You know, there's a lot of need for that. Who's willing to pull the permits and find out what needs to be done and how do we meet expectations and all that? That's a big load. It's a big job. It's a function of the church. All right. What do you see? Is your vision the church is something that should be, could be, would be, if God had it his way, that's vertically integrated, that meets all the needs? Is that what your vision is? Is your vision a vision of it's a place I go for amusement and maybe a place I just visit to find out something new that I can whisper about? You know, it's important in our vision that we accept the gift that God has given us. And it's also important for us to accept the gift that God gives others and allow them to function in the way that they should. The more we seek our calling in life, the more fulfilled we'll be. And the better we'll be able to help God's body. And the better it'll function. So I've been talking to you about the vision that I have. And now I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk to you about what I see. Vision is what I believe. Vision is about what I see in my mind's eye. And what I see is reality today. You know, we can look at our gift and say that it's the pinnacle or the pit in the body of Christ. And we could rearrange these in a different order. I've spent almost four decades in the repair sector. And when, you know, there's people that have the same name, and when they come to see me, they're a different customer than when they come to see you if you're an architect. Do you know that? When they come to see you if you're an architect, or maybe even in construction, they got something on their mind when they go there. They've got a vision in their head, and they want to start bringing it to reality, and their wallet is open. And when they come to me, that's not the way it is. Their wallet got closed when they at the last fuel pump, and when I got to see them, they're not happy when I tell them they're going to have to open their wallet. They got the same name as when they seen you, but they're not the same customer. So I've worked in the repair industry, like I said, for almost four decades. Sometimes I work in the maintenance area, but most of the things that I've done for almost 40 years professionally is it's broke. And I want it to run again. Or I want something to function that has quit functioning. And occasionally I get to say, you know, you really ought to do something here just for the sake of maintenance to try to keep from breaking down. But I don't even get to do that very often. And I can look at that and say, well, my gift, I can either be grateful for the gift that God has blessed me to be able to function in, or I can say, this is the pit. It's the worst place that I wish that nobody would follow me. I'm going to tell you, young man, I wish some of you would. I wish some of you would follow me. There's a lot of reward there. I don't look at it as the pit. I could write these words in a different order and put repair at the top and not feel bad. Because when we repair something, it goes back to a state of just needing maintenance. If maintenance would have done, it might been done, it might not have come to repair. You follow me so far? Well, I look around and what I see today at the church. I'm going to be very honest with you. Wouldn't be anything less. But I see something that looks very similar to what gets drug in on the hook in my job. I see brokenness. I see things that maintenance should have been done, but it wasn't. I remember one time I had a man bring a truck to me. The engine was locked up. And to make a long story short, it locked up because he had never changed oil on it. Maybe one time. And we got into a big discussion, and he told me, he said, I used to drive Chevrolets, and I never changed the oil in them. And they just run and run and run. And I said, well, I'm not here to argue, but on a Ford, you got to change the oil. You know, I see some of that when it comes to the church. What are we going to do about it? You can jump ships and start looking for something else. Or you can say, Lord, what's my calling? Where should I be functioning? And I know a lot of times when I stand here behind this desk, if you listen to me say talk very much, you find out that I'm coming from the perspective of fixing something. Just how I'm wired. I feel like it's a gift. And your gift might be to take an idea and put it on paper where somebody can go cut the boards or drill holes in the metal and then bolt it together. And I really appreciate your abilities. I appreciate those that have inspiration, but I'm going to tell you, those of you that have inspiration many times are so far on the other end of the spectrum from me that sometimes it almost feels like you're my enemy. You don't think the same way I do. You don't take into consideration what has to be done when a repair is needed sometimes. But I respect it. And it's necessary for us to have inspiration. It's necessary for us to have planning. All of these points are necessary in the body. But they're not all up to speed. Why? Why aren't they up to speed? And what can we do about it today? I'm very aware of the consequences of poor maintenance and subpar repairs. Witnessed that many times. You'll be wise to accept your calling and say, Lord, I know this is not all of the solution, but I'm willing to do my part. Might be cleaning the restrooms. It might be vacuuming. It might be some area other than that that just helps. I pray that the Lord will help us all to find our place. I believe with all of my heart that God wants a church that's visible today, that's vertically integrated to the point that others look on and say, I don't know how it all happens. But that's something that works over there. Visibly, to those looking on, and spiritually. Amen. Yes. Listen to a message that got posted recently of Brother Sammons. And in that message, Brother Sammons was told that someone in the community had talked to another person in the community and was wanting to make some changes in their life towards God, and the advice was given, if you really want help, go down there. Go down there where that little church of God is. Folks, that's what we want. We want people to recognize, if you really want help, go see the people that's really vertically integrated. That all the members of the body is functioning. And it's not something that's just limping along. We get vehicles in that all of those warning lights are on. They're on for a reason, you know. And you start going through them and the customer says, I'm not worried about anything, any of that. You know, if it'll start and I can put it in gear and it'll go down the road. That's all I'm worried about. We have customers like that. We have people that satisfied the church is what church is. And we can have all kinds of warning lights and just ignore that and think everything's okay. Yes. Still works. Lord, help us to not be satisfied with that. I drive an old truck, 400,000 miles. I drove it down here, pulled my camper. I plan on getting home with it too. You know why? I keep it all working. You know, the church's been around a long time. Doesn't mean it's non-functional anymore. Some people would put my truck in a museum. I use it every day. I don't want the church to go in a museum or go down in the history books as something that used to be. I want it to be alive and well. And I'm not satisfied when I look and I see there's some areas of improvement that can happen. I can step up to the plate a little better. Maybe you can. I believe with all of my heart in the verse that says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. The scripture also says, if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. The good of the land is a vertically integrated church that's able to meet the needs of mankind, be self-sustaining, and be something that the world can say, if you really want help, go over there. That's what I want. That's what I believe in. That's what I want to be part of. That's what I want you to be part of. Young people, there's room for you. Middle-aged people, if you've been idling along and wondering, what can I do? And you that are senior citizens and older than me, don't put your foot up on the footstool until you have to. There's something for you to do to help the cause. Fill in the gap somewheres. I'd like to go to 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter, and leave us with a verse. I don't know what it would have been like to be there when the dedication of the temple that Solomon built and witnessed the presence of the Lord coming down. I don't know what that would have been like, but it had been pretty impressive. All the sacrifices that were made. I'd like to go down to verse 11, 7th chapter, 2 Chronicles. And thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. In his own house, he prosperously effected. He didn't spare any expense. It was done like no one else had ever done. Verse 12, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send the pestilence among my people, if my people, there's a lot of conditions here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, it's going to sound pretty strong, but I'm going to say it like this. It's wicked for you to back up on your calling. It's wicked for you to back up on what you know you ought to do. There's a place here I can fill. And if you back up and say, I just, got too many other things to do. Need to go take care of myself. Well, we do. But only to the ultimate end that I can be effective for the Lord. I want to be effective. I'm not discouraged. And I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head this morning. I want you to be encouraged with a vision of a really fully functional church. And I want you to be willing to say, Lord, what can I do? And humble yourself and realize our dependency on the Lord. You have probably, well, some of you do, but maybe some of you don't know how much apprehension I feel before I stand up here. I want the Lord to take our feeble abilities and impact your hearts and your lives. There's something for you to do besides sit in the stands and offer something less than complimentary. There's something for us to all do, and the Lord wants His church to be like a light on the hill. He wants it to be something where others look on and say, that's the place to go. I hope you got the message. You pray for me. I want to be faithful in the calling the Lord's given me. You pray for me.